about the Dalid Lashonos of Geula, the four languages of redemption. So we started the parish of the Matzari. Sorry. Let's go with the Pesukim, we'll get into it right away. L'chein therefore emar say l'vnei Yisrael, so shall you say to the Jewish people, so shall you say, hello Meir. L'chein l'vnei Yisrael, Hashem yotzeisi eschem itachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Here is the first Lashon, I will take you out of the burdens from underneath the burdens of Egypt. V'itzalti eschem yavoidasam, the second Lashon of Geula, I will save you from their service. May avoid us some from their servitude. I'm not sure that's the right word. From them enslaving you. Vigualti eschem bizroni to you, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Uvishvatim gedolim. And with mishpat. Okay, all of these incredible things. Vilokachti eschem lilam, I will draw you near to me as a people. Vilisi lacham lokim, I'll meet you as a God. Vidatem you'll know, kiani Hashem elokeichem, ani Hashem elokeichem. Hamotzi eschem itachas sivlois mishem. Then you will know that I am Hashem, your God, who has taken you out of the burdens of Egypt. Okay, we read the Targum yesterday. Let's jump right into we'll go a little bit backwards. We'll jump right into his explanation, and we'll get an idea of we'll work backwards. Pasuk Vav and Zayin. So we're up to over here the word Miramam. Now the word Miramam is coming to explain. It's coming to explain the word in Pasuk Vav. Where is the word Miramam? It's the end of the word. Okay, Miramam means Bizroya. Nituya, bidra, an arm that is uplifted. So what is the significance of the word miramam? So here he says, muram means to lift. Nira shetirgim lufi hakavona shaharei hapoel noteh, yochel gam l'shamesh hatil l'oretz. See, we were mechaving to this yesterday, that the word zeroya, an arm that is stretched, it does not necessarily mean stretched upward to heaven. The word nituya just means stretch. You can stretch your arms to the side. You can stretch your arms down. Who says the arm is being stretched to the heavens? So the Targum is being very generous in this translation. The word, the verb, Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra. See, he says Bizroy Netuya does not mean up to Shemayim. It means to the side. That's that Avraham ibn Ezra. But the Targum says no. Bizroya Netuya means Hashem raised his hands up. Now that's very V'cheinu b'Targum Yonasan ben Uziel l'kamon. That's very interesting because think about it. When Moshe Rabbeinu was fighting against Amalek, he told Yoshua to go to battle, and Moshe stood on a rock, and it says V'chasha Yod Moshe Yodoi V'govar Yisrael. When Moshe raised his hands up high, the Jewish people prevailed. When he put his hands down, then they faltered. What was in there? I think if I'm not mistaken, what does Rashi on that pasuk tell us? When Moshe raised his hands up, the Jewish people, they looked at him, and they looked to Shemayim. They looked upward to heaven. And it was a reminder that they should put their faith in Hashem. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam is in Shemayim, and he is raising his hands up, what does that mean? Who is Hashem raising his hands to? What does that mean? Hashem is raising his hands to Shemayim. Hashem is Shemayim. So when we talk about Hashem with Bizroya Netuya, so okay, maybe you'll say it means power. It's an expression of might, of might and power. All right, but ordinarily when you raise up your hands, there is it doesn't really fit when it comes to Hashem. All of the explanations that you're going to provide of the meaning of the word an arm that's raised high would fit very well regarding a human being, but not with regard to Hashem. So what does it mean then? So I don't know. I don't know what it means. One thing would be interesting is to focus on this one Maimon Chazal. The Chazal say, what does Chazal tell us that Hashem wears tefillin? And the Gemara asks, what is written in Hashem's tefillin? In our tefillin, there's a lot of things that are written. There are four parshiyos. Now the first thing it says is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We put our faith in Hashem. And the Gemara says that in Hashem's tefillin it is written, Umi ke'amcha Yisrael. Now tefillin is an ornament. It is a piece of jewelry. And in our piece of jewelry, we express our uniqueness that we pride ourselves in saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he also wears jewelry. What is his jewelry? His jewelry is to express his love for Klal Yisrael. Hashem looks, Hashem, he takes, his jewelry is the Jewish people. So now let's take this idea, what the Ibn Ezra says, and what the Targum just says, the Zroya Nituya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saved us with an outstretched arm. Okay, that could mean power, might, could mean all these different things. Let's talk spiritual. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saved us. Let's say we were the ones being saved. We were stretching out our arms. When we stretch out our arms, it's usually to stretch our arms to Hashem. For example, according to the letter of law, when a person davens, what it's really supposed to do is supposed to raise your hands to Hashem. You're supposed to pick up your hands and raise them over your head. We don't do that today because the goyim do that, and we don't want to be like the goyim. But technically, the proper way to daven is by picking up your hands to Hashem. According to the Ibn Ezra, when it says Zroya Netuya, what is essence, and what does it mean when you raise your hands to Hashem? You have faith. You have faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You express your Amunah. According to what he says on the side of the page, and the Ibn Ezra, the word Netuya just means your hands are stretched. It doesn't tell you which direction. Perhaps, this is a little bit wild, but perhaps what it means by Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he stretches his hands, he is stretching his hands to earth. Below, as if to say, do you know where I put my faith? I put my faith in Klal Yisrael, in the Jewish people. The same way we raise our hands up to Hashem, Hashem lowers his hands, or you could maybe say Hashem raises his hands down to the earth, as if to say, I put my faith in man. We say this in davening every morning. Rabba, great emunasecha. What does that mean? Great is your faith. Rabba, great emun is your faith. If it means something, great is it to have faith in Hashem. So it should say Rabba, great emuna. Great is emuna, the principle of faith. Emuna Secha means your faith. So what does that mean? Great is the faith that we have. Words do not translate well. And therefore, there are some who want to suggest that when a person wakes up in the morning, he asks himself the first question. The first question the person asks himself when he wakes up in the morning is, why in the world did Hashem bring back to life? Why? What is the purpose of waking up in the morning and waking up in the morning? I'm probably going to do today so many averos. I'm going to make so many mistakes. It's going to be a miserable day. There's so many things that can go wrong and will go wrong. So why, Hashem, did you bother to wake me up? Let me just sleep forever. And the answer is, Hashem says, Rabba, when the person wakes up, he acknowledges that Hashem has faith in him. Great is the faith that you have, emuna secho. The chof at the end means you. Great is the faith that you, Hashem, have, in me, that you woke me up because you really believe that I'm going to accomplish something worthwhile in this world. Rabba, great emuna secha, the faith that you have in me, Hashem. And that's why you woke me up. That empowers a person. There's no greater way to empower a person than to say to them, I have faith in you, I trust you, I have confidence in you, and you'll succeed. When you give a person an opportunity to accomplish, you let go of him and you show that you put your faith in him, that is what gives a person power. That itself is the most empowering experience. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he empowers human beings because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in humanity. Great is the faith you have in man that you allow them to wake up in the morning and to attempt to achieve And when we appreciate that, then we can go forward. So taking this idea, and I want to try to put into this pasuk based on what we learned over here in the Targum. The pasuk over here says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to redeem Eschem you bezroya netuya. What does that mean? I'm going to redeem you, the Jewish people, with an outstretched arm. Okay, so we know how we like how they taught us in elementary school. Bezroya netuya means power, a muscle man. Go to the gym and you go look at these macho, these people who have muscles of iron, and they're lifting weights and they're on the treadmill and they're doing this and doing that. An outstretched arm. It's an expression, power, koyach. Okay. I'm not denying that's the pashup shot, but by the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's too simplistic. There are other expressions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem over here is coming to brag, I'm a powerful person. Is that what it's all about over here? Emor Levnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. When you say that Ani Hashem, that means Hashem has all the power in the world. What more do you need to say? Hashem is Hashem. I'm going to take you, Bitachas, the civilized Mitzrayim, the burdens, Vitzalti Eschem Yavoidosam, I'm going to save you from the slavery. Now here's what I want to tell you. V'go'alti Eschem, I'm going to redeem you, Bezroya Netuya. You know how I'm going to redeem you? I'm going to put my faith in you. The expression Zeroya Netuya means, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the rock, when Klal Yisrael was fighting Amalek, and when Moshe rei v'chasher yorim Moshe yodoi v'gavar Yisrael, Moshe raised his hand, the Jewish people prevailed. When Moshe raised his hands, the Jewish people, they followed his hand upward, and they looked to Shemayim to put their emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to redeem Klal Yisrael, I'm going to redeem you, Bezroya Netuya, I'm in Shemayim. But I'm going to raise my hand downward. Oxymoron. I'm going to raise it downward. Just like Moshe raised his hand upwards, I'm going to raise my hand downwards. What is that all about? Well, when Moshe raised it upwards, it's to show Klal Yisrael have emun in Hashem. When I redeem you, what are you people? You're nothing. You have sunk to the mem te sharei tumah. You're nothings. But you know something? I believe in you. I put my faith in you. I have confidence in you that you will prevail. You will grow. You will succeed. You will bring this world to achieve its tafkid, its purpose. That's what it means. I'm going to redeem you. How? Bezroya netuya. Netuya doesn't necessarily mean up to Shemayim. It means outstretched. It just means to stretch your arm. Where do you stretch it? Up, down, sideways? The Ibn Ezra says this. Ibn Ezra, they're very disturbed here with the Targum. The Targum says, Mi'romam, up. Who says it means up? Who says it means up? It means, the word netuya means to the side, down. Okay, he quotes the Ibn Ezra over here. Over here. V'chein amlan perish Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, kan. It can mean, yoch gam l'sham l'shatoya l'oretz, downward. V'chein amlan, that's what he says over there, but the Targum says up. It's not necessarily contradiction, because at least the Ibn Ezra has enlightened us of what this pasuk possibly really means. It's an expression of faith and confidence, Rabba Munasecha. And when the Targum says up, it means I'm going to raise upwards my hand. Up is not literal. It means, like I said in English, you're going to raise your hands, you're going to raise your hands downward. Doesn't make sense. Lower your hands downward. No, raising means confidence, faith. And the direction is just to point who you're putting your faith in. But the raising is an expression of emunah. And we have here a whole new pshat. Okay, a whole new pshat here, what it means, geula. Geula is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu having faith in us. And that itself is the geula. Because when Hashem empowers us by showing the faith he has in us, then that is redemption. Then we're not shackled by the limitations and problems of this world. We're automatically in a state of redemption. Okay, now we go to the next part of the Targum. Okay, there's no more on this pasuk. Now we go to Zion. Va'akor rav. What does that mean? This is a very beautiful translation, which is something which is not what they're going to teach in elementary school. Vilokachti. Okay, we discussed this yesterday. Vilokachti eschem li le'om. So how do they translate this elementary school? I'm going to take you. You know, you go into the room, go into your dining room. Someone comes to pick up a package, and you're not able to come down to the dining room, so you buzz them in and you say, the package is on the table. Go into the dining room table and take it. Take it. V'lokachti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks into the dining room table. V'lokachti, I'll pick it up, take it with me. Is that what it means? That's too boring, that translation. The Targum says, not what it means. It means, V'akorev yoschon kodomai. I'm going to draw you near to me. I'm not going to take you with a leash. Okay, I read a story yesterday that somewhere, I don't know where in the country this was, in the United States of America. This would only happen in the United States of America. Only would happen. You're not allowed to go out. Curfew. Corona. Sakonis nefashis. A human being is not allowed to go for a tiyul at night. You're not allowed. You're contaminating the avir with your ruach mishmasai. But you're allowed to walk your dog. You're allowed to walk your dog at night. Dogs are very important. So you're allowed to go walk your dog, but you can't go walk alone. If you walk alone, you get arrested. But if you walk with a dog, it's mutter. So a smart aleck, maybe it's not a smart aleck, maybe it's a very smart woman, she took her husband, and she put a leash around her husband's neck. And they went for a walk. And they were stopped. So she said, this is my dog. I'm taking my dog for a walk. Look, he has a leash. May, are you listening to this? May, this is just up your alley. My only question is, why wasn't it the other way around? Where the husband put his wife on a leash. Ooh, that would never happen. Never. Never happened such a thing. Not even in America, such a thing. Okay, you see what goes on in this world? It's a very funny world. Okay, you have to have some humor in this world also. But that's a true story. I'm not joking. I really read these crazy things. I don't even know how I read these things. I don't even go looking to anything. They just somehow pop into the WhatsApp. These funny things. But it's true. I think it's a true story. I have to Google it. Check it out. Google it. I think it's true. I'm going to draw you near to me. Now let's see over here what it says over here in what he's trying to do. Derech unkelis. Here I'm reading over here on the side. Derech unkelis letargim lekicha ledavar shebekedusha beloshen korav. Anytime you take a holy object, the correct word is korav. V'chein v'lekachta es ha-levim. Oh, you see by the levim. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take the levim, they should be servants of Hashem. It says to him, v'sakrev yos le'vo'ai. You shall bring them near me. Okay. Then the next word is le'loka. What's the word over here? I'm going to take you to me as a people. La'am. Ve'hevei l'choin le'elo. That means a god. I will be to you le'elokim. He is translating the word le'elokim as the word le'elo. Now what is it over here in the Perush? Omnom derech unkelis l'targim elokim b'shem havaya. Chutz v'mekom v'shabob mikro shem elokim yachlam shem havaya k'mo b'sav parzik zeh. Avol zeh poshel sh'mokom sh'esh kinui lo yitargim kein. Elo kishayesh kinoi gam shem elokim enoi mashir kitzura asayim tagim mitzura sacheres. V'tzorach yinatam. Now, I don't know exactly what he's saying, but he's saying this is at least something that is worthy to discuss, and we once upon a time learned this. Baruch Hashem, we're learning this for a long time already. We started with, I think, with Devo. When did we start learning Targum? I don't remember. Dvarim? I think we started with Chumash Dvarim. We started learning Targum. And we came across this idea that the Targum always translates the word Elohim. Elohim, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Which is very interesting because, you know, Hashem has many different names. And each name has a different connotation. And Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke is Rachamim. And Elohim is Midas Adin. Yet the Targum, he is diluting by translating the Midas Adin with the Midas Rachamim. He's coming to lessen the severity of the Midas Adin. He's going to make the Midas Adin to Midas Rachamim. So the question is, why then did the Targum deviate from his practice here? He should write, V'yisi lochem, I will be to you, Leilo Kim, as Lamed Yud Ke Vav Ke. Why here did he break with his own rule and he translated with a word, a new word, Lamed Hey? Why did he do that? So I don't really understand what he's saying. Let's try one more time. He's saying here, however, we should listen to Targum Elokim Shem Havaya. He always translates it with the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that means maybe it's diluted. He's trying to mahapich midas adin lemidas harachamim. Then he goes on to say, and then he's in parenthetical. He says that, and the only time that he does not do that is when you have in the pasuk Hashem Elokim. Whenever you have in the pasuk both of the names together, the Targum is not going to say Hashem Hashem. Then is the only time when the Targum is going to say Yud Kei Vav Kei. He's going to say Hashem and then say Elohim. But even when he does that, he doesn't say this unusual expression Aleph Lamed Hey Yud. He normally says Elohim. Elok Kishayesh Kina Gam Sham Elohim Einoi Mashir Kitzurasai Umetargim Bitzuacheres Aleph Lamed Hey. He doesn't say Elohim, or maybe he's just making that point over here. He says hello here. What did it say over here? What was the word over here that it said? It said Aleph Lamed Hey. No, so it's indeed. He's just backing it up. He's not explaining. He's not explaining to us what he's not explaining. I don't know. He writes here at the end. V'tzorach in hatam. Okay? He writes over here. V'tzorach in hatam. I don't know. Not everything in this world do we know. Okay? Not everything do we know. V'tzorach in hatam. Why here did the Targum translate Hashem's name? So we have to figure this out now. Why then, V'yisi lochem le'lokim, I will be to you le'lokim. Why did the Targum change its custom and translate this with the word which means Elohim? So the only thing I can suggest to you is as follows, is that what's the drush, the machshava, why does the Targum ordinarily switch? Does he take when it says Elohim in the pasuk and he translates it Yud Kei Vav Kei? So I told you already, it's because Elohim represents harshness, Midas Adin. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Rachamim. The Targum, by translating Hashem, Elohim to Hashem, in essence, is davening. See, learning, when you learn Torah, you have to appreciate that it's a spiritual pursuit. It's not an intellectual, it isn't, obviously, it's learning is all intellectual. But it's not purely intellectual. There is an element of spirituality, of divinity in the experience of learning. Today, it's almost too much spiritual. We know for a fact that not that long ago, the Maskilim, before World War II, they absolutely were in love with the Talmud. They had a tremendous love, many of the Maskilim, to learn Talmud just for the sake of enjoying the brilliance of the Talmud and of all the commentaries and what was present. They were thoroughly irreligious to the core. And they would sit on Shabbos, or they would sit on Yom Kippur, and they would sit with a cigar or a cigarette in their mouths on Yom Kippur with some chazer right next to them, and they would take a little bit of chaza, some geschmack of chaza, then take a puff from the cigarette, and they would delve deep into the sugyas of the Gemara. Now, to us, it doesn't make one bit of sense, because today, it doesn't exist. It kemat doesn't exist such a thing, where people study Torah just for the pleasure of the knowledge and of the depth of what offers. Doesn't exist. Today, every yeshiva bach, when they learn Daf Gemara, it's like they're davening. No, it's intellectual experience. Davening is more pure emotional, it's more you're praying, you're speaking to Hashem. But today, every yeshiva bachar and everyone today that learns the Gemara, it's a spiritual experience. You're coming to find in the Gemara some divinity. That's the way we look at it. And that's true. That is true. That is absolutely true. It might be too true today. It might be too much. We should relax a little bit and enjoy the Gemara just for the sake of the Gemara, knowing that this is Hashem's Torah, not so much focus on it's not davening. You're not davening, you're learning. But it's okay, it's fine. No, it's fine, everything, it's all good. Being that it is a spiritual experience, the spiritual experience itself transforms Hashem's Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim. So the Targum translates to Shem Yud, Shem Elokim, which represents Hashem's harshness. When he translates it into Yud Kei Vav Kei in his translation, he's not committing a crime, the Targum. That's exactly what happens when you learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you transform Hashem's Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim. There's no greater zuchus you can have in this world than Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is the ultimate zuchus. Torah is megin. When you learn Torah, it protects you when you're learning and when you finish learning. The after effect. There's no learning the Torah and translating it. What does it mean to translate? To apply it, to uncover its depth, its message, and take it within you. That's what a translation really is. Not just put down some words in a piece of paper. Translating means translating it into your essence is a conversion, is an experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much pleasure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes from the Midas Hadin to the Midas Harachamim. That's the ordinary situation. But there are times that when you learn, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to maintain the Midas Hadin. And it depends what you're learning, it depends on the context. See, in this context, look what it says. V'lokachti eschem lil amam, take you as a nation, v'hoyisi lochem lilokim. You see, over here in this pasuk, the goal here is that Hashem should have Midas Hadin. This pasuk is, see, when you stop, you're talking about Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Let's say the pasuk somewhere in the Torah, Elokim spoke to Moshe. Hashem is furious. Hashem, Vayevo Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kezarad, is furious because of a terrible avera took place. So then, that's right. The goal is to do teshuvah, to get Hashem to calm down. Should not be Midas Hadin. But that's not what's happening here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing the creation of Klal Yisrael. It's coming to set the rules. Who am I and who are you? We're not buddy-buddy. We're not buddy-buddy here. I'm the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're Klal Yisrael. Know your place. Know your boundaries. This Hagbola by Har Sinai over and over again. Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the Klal Yisrael, don't get too close. And Moshe, Hashem, you know, I told them that already. Tell it again. Go down again. Nochamol, nochamol, nochamol. Why? Because I'm coming here to give you the Torah. And the Torah is all love and closeness. But know your boundaries. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're a human being. Don't get too close. That's what it says here in this pasuk. V'choyisi, we're defining the relationship here in this pasuk. I will take eschem you li la'om. I'm going to draw you close to me. I'm going to bring, and see, it goes very well with the targum. The targum, l'kachta, means I'm going to make you very, very close to me. But don't get too close. You get too close, you're going to get burnt. V'choyisi lochem le'elokim. Maintain your distance. The targum here wouldn't dare translate the word Elohim to Yudke Vavke, because that's exactly what the pasuk is trying not to do. I already told you I'm going to bring you close to me, but not too close. Okay, so this perhaps is an answer to his question, the tzorich iyun hatam. Okay, this is an answer to these words. This is a drush. I think to a degree it answers. Again, in order to answer this, you have to first understand what he says over here, why indeed it's true that every time the Targum says, Omnam, Derech Unkelas, the Targum Elohim, Shem Havaya. And here, not in this case. Why? The Tzarchin. Well, it's very simple why. Ordinarily, when you're learning, you're translating, you're converting Din Terachim, but over here, we're not, that's not what the Pasuk is teaching. Over here, we have to be very careful. Okay, now let's go to the next expression in the Targum. The next is, I am the God that is going to take you out. Okay, so let's go back over here to what is it referring to in this part of the pasuk? Pasuk, and this is pasuk Zion. Okay, you're going to know vidatem ki ani Hashem, arei ano Hashem Elokachoin. I am Hashem. We say yud kei vav kei mean two yuds. Yud kei vav kei is we had this discussion a long time ago. This whole discussion, why is Yudke Vavke turned into two Yuds? Okay, not for now, but Yudke Vavke is two Yuds. Elokachoy, and he already told us, whenever you have Hashem twice, then he has no choice to change life. Ki ani Hashem, ani Hashem Elokechem. Here, he said this is the exception. Whenever you have Hashem together with Elokechem, you cannot translate Elokechem to mean Yudke Vavke, two Yuds, because you already did that, the word before. So whenever the two come together, then you have no choice. The chiddush was the first time it said it, because the first time it said it, you did have a choice. So over here, what does he say over here in the parish? He says, he's explaining what we just said before. Okay, refers to judges, Olam Malachim, Velili Hagoyim, V'Oid Harei Ha'isios Yam, B'Soif Ha'Elokim Nires L'Shon Rabim. What is he saying over here? U'Lechein Choshash Unkelis La'Toim. Those who make a mistake. Avo B'Mokam Sh'Hashem Elokim Samach L'Shem Acher. When there's another shame, Gon Kan V'Chibu V'Chaver M'Chiyachalav, Hetiko Unkelis B'Targuma Shal Shinui. In the Targum Shal Shimon. Now, I think when you see over here, something goes very, very interesting. You think, why does it say Eloh Kachoin B'Lashon? I think this question over here is as follows. Why does the Targum translate the word Eloh Kach, Eloh Kim, in the singular? Generally, when we have Eloh Kim is misleading, because Eloh Kim, it should say Eloh Kach. Elokai neshama shenasata bi. The singular of Elokim is Eloka. Why then was it written Elokim? Do we put a mem at the end? Now we do know that whenever you have a yud and a mem at yud mem, it connotes the plural, more than one. To say the plural in reference to Hashem is apikursis. There's only one God. So how could the pasuk ever say the word Elokim Yud Mem? How could the pasuk ever do something like that? So the answer is, it's hard to find a good answer, but basically, making it plural intensifies. It's not meant to chas v'shalom mislead a person to think there's more than one God. Making it plural is just a technique to intensify the power and the might of a Kadosh Baruch, but it's misleading. Don't forget that it is misleading. Therefore, the Targum here, his job is that although the Torah made it Yud Mem, when I translate it, I'm going to translate it in the singular, not in the plural. And that's why here, in this case, where the Targum must translate it, and it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's why when it says Elokeichem, he translates it Eloi Kachoin. You are Eloi, which is a singular expression. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what he's trying to say here. Let's maybe quickly try to see what he'll do one more time very quickly. Elo Kachoin. Why this, I think, believes your God. It's a singular Lashon. This Hashem Elokai. And you do Kachoin, it means yours. Elokim just means many gods. So he explains, Omnam. However, Derech Unkelis. It's his custom b'targumay l'hachlif shem Elokim b'shem Yudkei Vavkei. That's the general rule. Whenever it says Elokim, the Targum is going to change Elokim to Yudkei Vavkei. In this case, we're not going to do that, because since over here we have Hashem Elokim, so you can't have Yudkei Vavkei, Yudkei Vavkei, and again, Yudkei Vavkei, Yudkei Vavkei. You can't have it twice. So whenever the two names come together, you have no choice but to translate Elokim to Elokachim. But why in the singular? Why not in the plural? Loi also came kan. Over here he doesn't do Elohim. Why? Zebemnei Shashem, the name Elokim Meshutov Gam Lashoifte. First, we have to appreciate the word Elokim sometimes is used by judges. It's not necessarily sacred. Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shnehem. And that pasuk in Mishpatim refers to Bezdin, that the two litigants have to go to the court. Elohim is called the court. Ulamulachim, kings. Sometimes the king is called an Elohim, and there can be many kings. But the ule elile hagoyim, idols sometimes are called Elohim, and there are many idols. Ve'od hari oisios yud mem b'sayif Hashem Elohim near ois l'shon rabim. Okay, that's a problem also. So sometimes he's saying two rules. Number one, the word Elohim is not necessarily miyuchad only. It's not designated the word Elohim only to Hashem. The word Elohim can be used in reference to a court, can be used in reference to a king, can be used in reference to a judge, can be used in reference to idols. Number two, the Shem Elohim is misleading because the Yud Mem connotes plurality. Am I saying that right? Plural. More than one. Now, that's why Unkelis, so he's saying a whole, I gave you a drush. I gave you this whole drush that the reason why the Targum translates Elohim to Yudke Vavke is because he's being Mahabir the Midas Adin to the Midas Harachamim through learning. That was drush. He's telling us Pshat. Pshat is because the reason why the Targum does not like Elohim, he did not want to say Elohim in the Targum, is because the people who are going to be reading the translation may be misled to think that we're talking about idols, we're talking about kings or judges or courts of law. So therefore, when the Targum wrote his translation to make it clear as day that this Elohim is sacred, it refers to Hashem, he translates it Yud Kei Vav Kei. However, but when you have two of Hashem's names back to back, Yudkei Vavkei and then Elohim, so the Targum anyway has to say Hashem to translate Yudkei Vavkei, so we automatically are not going to and will no longer be misled to think that Elohim is a judge, is a court, is something secular, because we have the Yudkei Vavkei. They told us already that already. Al Mokam Hashem Elohim Samach L'Shem Acher Humaykan. When it says Elohim, we know that we are discussing something that is godly, because the previous word, the chaveroi, is the previous word is Yudkei Vavkei Hashem. Then the Targum has nothing to worry about. Without any deviation. Now, I told you there was deviation. Maybe I was wrong. Elokachon. I thought it was singular. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it was also Lashon Rabim. Elohim. Okay, Elokachoin is the translation of Elohim. And we're not afraid for any deviation. So he's basically giving us over here the whole basic pshat. the basic pshat why the Targum changes from Elokim to Yud Kei Vav Kei is because it will be misleading for the reader. They might think that Elokim over here is Chol, not Kodesh. But when you have two Shemos Hashem back to back, no one's going to make that mistake because the first Shem tells us that it's sacred. Then he can just translate it literally. You listen to over here. Da'apek, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. Okay, Shahitzi Loshan Ovar, Vyav Loshan Akos Hamitzi, he Loshan Ovar, which is Rabbanan. Okay, this is the whole Busugi in the Gemara, Hamitzi Lechem and Aretz. Here, the Targum, you can't regard from the Targum, because the Targum always changes the tenses. This is something that is very, very troubling and very difficult with the Targum. It's always changing from the present to the past, the future. You can't bring any rise from the tense. When the Targum talks about it's almost like a gold mine for someone in third grade, and you have to go learn grammar. And you can make and anything that you write down on the piece of paper, you're wrong. You don't know that you're klalim. You don't know how to write the word shamarti, yishmar, eshmar. You don't know how to write all the rules of the past tense. Guess what? If the Rebbe ever screams at you, say, yeah, what about Targum? And the Targum got it right. Targum got nothing right. He didn't even get one word right. Everything the Targum writes is always wrong. It's always confusing, and there's always different rules, and he keeps on changing the rules. So, but this pasuk is a bit different, and the reason why this pasuk is because this pasuk indeed is a sugi in the Gemara Misach the Brachas, and the sugi is the word Hamoitzi. The word is what bracha do we make on bread? Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. What does the word Hamoitzi mean? Hashem brings forth, or Hashem has brought forth? When you have in front of you bread, a piece of bread, what are you saying? I want to thank you, Hashem, because you bring forth grain. You bring forth, excuse me, let's not talk about the future now. Let's talk about what's in your hand. Isn't the purpose of making the bracha to thank Hashem what you're about to eat, which has already come forth from this world? So why did Chazal make a bracha of Hamoitzi Lechem and Aretz, which according to our grammar would seem to mean the present, not the past? So I don't remember the Gemara, so the long Gemara. And over here, we're just quoting that Gemara. What we were saying, the word Hamoitzi Eschem means the past, according to the Rabbanim, means it's a unique grammatical form of the word Hamoitzi Eschem in the past. Now over here, Hashem didn't take them out yet. So why is it written in the past? I don't know. But he's saying, don't bring any rise from the Targum, because the Targum, anyway, is not serious about the tenses, at least from our perspective. Shehoyitzi Loshon Ovar! The Targum clearly translated in the past tense. But again, I told you, I would never bring a rise from the Targum, because anyway, even when, because he always changes rules. But Af Loshon HaKos HaMoitzi Hi Loshon Ovar! The Gemara wants to use this pasuk as a proof of our Lashitas Rabbanan in the Gemara discussing the bracha of Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz. Hamoitzi is in the past tense. So what does it mean in this pasuk? Also in the past. What does that mean? Hamoitzi Eschem. So it basically means that in the future, when you will have, be reading this pasuk, by the time you'll be reading this pasuk in the Torah, you will have already have left Egypt. Okay, let's go. For the Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishol Kishayitzi Oisam. Yaselam Dvarim Sheyedu, I just told you, Shakalash Baruchu Hoitzi Eschem in the past took them out. Okay, so again, you think over here, the Targum says the Maypak in the past tense. Why? Because the word of Lahoitzi means in the past. And even though the Pasuk seems in the present, no. Vidatem Kinya Hashem Elokeichem, that after I take you out of Egypt, you will observe the mitzvahs. And when you observe the mitzvot, you will then acknowledge that it was Hashem who took you out. This pasuk is written from the perspective of the future. Okay, and the Targum says, oh, Hamoitzi is the Maypak in the past tense. And then there's my cynical commentary on that Vart that the Natsari says is, excuse me, you're bringing me a raya from a Targum that translates a word in the Torah that's supposed to be in the past tense? Well, what about the 1,000 times when the Targum takes a word that's supposed to be in the past tense and translates in the present tense? You're picking out the one time that he got it right? What kind of raya is that? What kind of joke is that? The Targum never gets it right in the grammar. He doesn't want to get it right. He deliberately changes it for a reason. So don't bring me any rayas from the tense of the Targum. Okay, Rabbi, so we have to stop over here. Thank you so much for coming and learning with me. Have a wonderful night. Yom Tov Shalom. We'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow is the Siddur. Tomorrow, I just want to warn you, I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I have to go somewhere tomorrow. I have to be somewhere at 8 o'clock. It's only 5 minutes away. So I might have to stop a little bit early. Or maybe we'll start a little bit early. I don't know yet what we're going to do. And hopefully I'll be able to go learn to the very end. But I might have to leave a little bit early. We'll see. We shall see tomorrow. But hopefully...
Or you can do it on the way.
I can't do it on the way. I have to walk. It's 5 minutes away from me. I have to walk somewhere to an event. And
so while walking, what are you doing? You know, we don't have to look at pictures. We can.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow, Mr. Shem. We'll see tomorrow. Okay, we'll see tomorrow.
Everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Mayor. Good night.